Welcome everyone to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Iadarola. It's gonna be a big day in the news. Literally, as we're recording this, the January 6th hearings are starting. It is possible that we will be breaking into breaking news from that. And even if nothing massive happens during our show, we have a lot to talk about on January 6th, as well as a number of other topics. And so it is a good fortune that we're joined today on the show by not just contributor to Rebel HQ, perhaps the king of Rebel HQ. David Schuster's with us. David, how's it going?
There's no royalty at Rebel HQ, but I'm honored to be with you, John. Thank you.
There is a dynasty. But anyway, it's great to have you here. We've got a lot to talk about. The week of scandals continues. Yesterday on the show, we talked about Herschel Walker and Lauren Boebert. There are developments and we got to get to them. Herschel Walker can't go like 6 hours without some sort of nonsense happening. And so we're going to be starting on him in just a little bit. But along the way, we're going to be talking about the Lauren Boebert story, as well as debunking a couple of aspects of that story. Like, we don't know if it's true, or not in totality, but there's a few aspects that have already been debunked. We're going to be giving you updates on the Barry Loudermilk story, the tour that he gave on the 5th of January, right before the insurrection, and just a whole lot of other nonsense. Matt Gaetz owns one of the weirdest forms of Trump World memorabilia. We'll reveal what that is later on. Along the way, though, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great so that people get notifications and all that. And also, let's acknowledge weird stuff going on at TYT because the hearings are happening. Cenk is actually live broadcasting reactions to it too. So you can choose in real time to watch him live or watch us live. Choose, but choose wisely. And if you don't watch the full show, if you do want to go over to the January 6th hearings, which by the way, we will be giving you updates on, the clips will be up on the channel later, so you can watch them there. With all that said, and that is a lot, David, you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, I was just gonna suggest that people split their screen, right? You can have two live streams coming in at the same time. You can catch both.
That's true. Anyway, you got two ears. Use them. Put them to work, America. But anyway, we're gonna start on some nonsense with this.
What do you see as some of the biggest problems going on in our country today?
I think some of the biggest problems going on in our country today, we have so many celebrities telling people that they can't do it. Telling a lot of people, you can't do it. Like, you got to feel bad for yourself, feel sorry for yourself, which is sad to me because when they made it, they've done it, but they're telling you can't do it. And it's like, God, you did it. Why they can't do it? I think to tell our kids that, they can't do it, or to tell making our kids feel sorry for themselves.
Okay, so there were a lot of words there, and usually hearing the person say whatever it is that they're saying, that helps. I'm not sure that in this case it did. Herschel Walker, who's going to be the Republican nominee for Senate, I want to read what he said and see if we can figure out, because he was asked what are some of the biggest problems, and so this is what he chose to focus on amongst everything. Actual substantive critiques of what's going on in America is an option. BS Republican narratives, you could just go to one of those. Instead, he goes to this. He says, I think some of the biggest problems going on in our country today, we have so many celebrities telling people that they can't do it. Telling a lot of people, and you can't do it. Like, you gotta feel bad for yourself, feel sorry for yourself, which is sad to me because they done it, but they telling you can't do it. And it's like, God, you did it. Why can't they do it? I think that tell all kids that you know they can't do it, or tell our making our kids feel sorry for themselves and not having it, don't want to educate, you don't quit. But Herschel Walker, I would just beg you to please quit. Please quit and get out of the race, because you are not qualified to fill in the blank, honestly. But one of the things that could be in that blank very much is serve in the US Senate. I mean, we've been critical of other politicians that don't have the mental faculties. We criticize Joe Biden when he falls apart in the middle of a speech. But Joe Biden has never had a moment like whatever that was, David. What do you make of this? One of the big issues in America, celebrities telling you that you can't do it.
Well, to give Herschel Walker the benefit of the doubt, I guess, because it's hard to understand him. I guess he's talking about success or being successful or chasing your dreams, but putting that aside, what he's running for, he's running for the U.S. Senate, the world's greatest deliberative body. He's not running for the House, where you've got all kinds of clowns and freaks who can win election and do crazy stuff there. No, in the Senate, this is supposed to be the place where people have great debates, great discussions, intellectual back and forth and discourse. So just on that alone, he would simply be a placeholder. He would simply be, I don't know, just some sort of symbol for the voters of Georgia. The unfortunate thing is that's the way I think a lot of Georgia voters look at politics and look at the U.S. Senate today. They don't care about the issues. They don't care about discourse. They simply want to have one of their heroes in office.
And maybe they should, pragmatically. Maybe like you'd watch Herschel Walker and think this guy's completely lost. But he'll probably be told to vote with the Republicans, and he probably will. So at the end of the day, in many cases, does it really matter, I guess, that it's Herschel Walker rather than a Purdue or a, you know, whoever? I still think yes, kind of. I'm trying to play devil's advocate, but like seriously, if you're a person in that state, you're a conservative, you conceivably might want your representative to not just press one button rather than another when it comes to a vote, but be a leader, advocate for your state, do work for your constituents back in your state. They're not just supposed to be in DC. Maybe sponsor legislation, conduct yourself in Senate hearings, grill Supreme Court nominees. There is so much more than just voting one way or another. And I don't see how he's going to do any of that. If Georgia picks him, they're gonna have their outsider, I guess. So on that, you know, purely like feelings based level, they'll get what they want or something. But they are going to lose
Walker wins,
so much influence.
Well, if he wins, I guarantee he will not be on the Senate Judiciary Committee. So we don't have to worry about him even having the opportunity to question Supreme Court justice nominees or anybody else. But again, I think to your point, I would imagine, and look, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, has, you know, grudgingly come along to sort of supporting Herschel Walker. But I think even he sees some of the problems, and that Herschel Walker could be something of a wild card because he is so difficult to understand, because he is such a non-traditional type of person, and because it's difficult to sort of follow where his mind is and what he's thinking. And so, you know, a guy who has been a Heisman Trophy winner, a national championship winner in college football, a Georgia star, will he always listen to Republicans who are telling him push this button, do this? Maybe, I guess that's what they're counting on, but you know, that could also, you know, he may not. And so I think there's a lot of unknowns about him, except for the fact that maybe he's not qualified.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of unknowns. Like, is he going to vote one way or another? Is he going to get lost in the woods or something? We need to have people with a base level of competence. And he is a person who doesn't need a position in the Senate. He is a person who needs help, like assistance, clearly. I'm not trying to be an a-hole with this. Like, I didn't want to, for how long, to the audience, for how long did I not talk about Herschel Walker because I was so uncomfortable with it? But at a certain point, I mean, come on, we can't deny the evidence before our eyes. And by the way, like very quickly to finalize his quote, if the idea is that celebrities are telling people they can't be successful, that is the exact opposite of what most celebrity, I don't even know which celebrity he's talking about. And Henry Winkler, who is admittedly a celebrity, says, aren't you kind of a celebrity, Herschel Walker? Herschel Walker is literally only the nominee because he's a celebrity. So I don't, celebrities are, they're generally, don't they sell optimism? I don't even understand what he's trying to say. And by the way, like, this isn't necessarily the scandal of his that I want to focus on. There's more substantive stuff about the way that he expresses himself generally in terms of his inability to tell the truth. We didn't even cover that he recently said, it's recently resurfaced that in 2019, he said, I worked for law enforcement. Y'all didn't know that either. I spent time at Quantico at the FBI training school. Y'all didn't know I was an agent. He wasn't an agent. Campaign spokesperson says that he led women's self-defense training and held the title of honorary deputy in Cobb County. Honorary deputy, it's not a real thing. It's like when Jim gave Dwight a certificate of bravery that he printed out on the office. And I don't know which is worse. Is it that he's lying about this or that he doesn't know that it's like when Boy Scouts go and they give them a certificate? He's been talking about this. That happened years and years and years ago. He still thinks that he's like a secret agent or something, David.
Well, look, clearly he has had some concussions in his career, his football career, and maybe that's sort of what's going on, that he just, you know, there's something going on with his consciousness that isn't all there. And all he sort of remembers is, yes, he won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, he was a national champion and everybody in Georgia loves him, and that's good enough for him. And he can sort of brag and say whatever he wants. The unfortunate thing is he's also not, look, I think it's becoming clear based on the scandals and everything coming out about the number of kids that he had out of wedlock and that he wasn't paying child support for. He doesn't sound like he's a good person. So just on that alone, I would hope some voters take pause.
Earlier this week, there was yet another scandal about Herschel Walker, revealing that despite years and years of railing against fatherlessness and, you know, berating people to be better fathers and holding himself up as the ultimate father, not just to his own kids, but to people who are not his kids. He constantly talked about himself being fathers to all sorts of different people. We found out that he had a child that had not been disclosed and that he had to be brought into court to pay child support for. And so then that was settled. Until we pass a day and we find out that there is another hidden kid and another hidden kid. And none of this matters except in the way that it does. The fact that he has hidden children, that he wasn't supporting, that doesn't need to mean anything. It's a personal thing, and it doesn't say anything about what he would do in regards to climate change or inflation or labor rights. But it's a lot of hypocrisy. And what's interesting is people have these questions of whether he can be honest. When the scandal breaks about a child of yours that hasn't been disclosed, that you had to be brought to court for, and that you haven't been apparently involved with, despite saying that people need to be involved with their kids, that is your opportunity to reveal all of the other ones. At the very least, you can't be like, okay, well, we patched that one. Hope they don't look into the others, David. And now I think we've reached all of them, three hidden children. I don't know. Well, I hope that that's it. What do you think?
Well, it's still only Thursday. We got another day, another news cycle, and more could come out. Again, I mean, Herschel Walker, fine. And to me, again, it doesn't matter that he's had, you know, children out of wedlock. It doesn't matter what his choices in life have been, as long as he was supporting these kids, supporting his ex-girlfriends and whatnot. But to your point, when you step into the public spotlight, you have a duty to be honest. And when people ask, okay, do you walk the walk? You say it's important for fathers to be part of their children's lives. Well, what about you? And to the extent that he tried to hide this and is now sort of embarrassed by it, I mean, that's a problem. It's total hypocrisy. But now maybe we know what he was talking about when he said the celebrity said you can't do it. Maybe he was thinking the celebrity say you can't get away with not paying child support, but I have. No, I don't know.
Exactly. It is possible. Anyway, look, now he put out a statement saying, I have four children, three sons and a daughter. They're not undisclosed. They're my kids. I support them all and love them all. And that might be true. Obviously, on the former part of that, the law did need to be to get involved. I don't know or really care about the level of love. Again, I don't care how involved he is with his kids. He cares how involved people are with their kids. That's why he kept talking about it. And I think hypocrisy matters. It's one of the weird old-fashioned idiosyncrasies that I maintain into the modern era. But I think that being hypocritical is a bad thing. And anyway, and here's the thing, they keep pretending that the issue that people are trying to raise is that he hasn't involved them in the campaign. Literally nobody was asking for that about the first kid. They're not asking about it for these kids. And they cannot claim that they weren't trying to hide the children, because the statement that we played this on the show yesterday, that in response to the first scandal, they said Herschel had a child years ago when he wasn't married. He supported the child and continues to do so. You had that opportunity to reveal the other hidden stuff and you chose not to. You didn't even say he had other children or anything like that. You used the singular because you were apparently gambling that the other stuff wouldn't come out. And I don't even know why you'd make that gamble. My final point on this, David, nobody's gonna, like, Georgia seems completely immune to everything else that he's said about evolution and apes and, like, he can't speak authoritatively or even just in a way that doesn't make you uncomfortable about literally any topic. So why would this matter? It should matter, but why would it?
Well, he also can't use his life experiences to try to say to people, well, here's what you should be doing. I mean, look, we all know alcoholics or people addicted to drugs who have gone through that and say, I'm the example, don't become an alcoholic. I know how bad it is, or I know how bad drug use is. Herschel Walker could have said, look, yes, I believe that we have too many absentee fathers, and I was one of them. And don't take my, you know, don't follow my path, do better than I did. At least then you'd have some respect for his viewpoint and his life experience in shaping how important the role of fatherhood is to him. But he's missed that opportunity.
100%. Yeah, it's not like scandals never take anyone down. It seems like Madison Cawthorn got in trouble. So in theory, this can still work. But we are so far past. David, do you remember who was the, I'm blanking on his name, but he referred to someone as Macaca, which was considered to be a racist slur.
That was George Allen. I believe it was either the 2004, 2006 midterm elections. He was running for Senate in Virginia, and he referred to Macaca. And that torpedoed his. And he only lost that race, if I remember. And I remember because I covered it for NBC. I think he only lost that race by about 15,000 votes. So that was, again, enough where that scandal had an impact.
Yeah. I cannot believe how long ago that was. But something like that, would that be 10 seconds of a news cycle these days, that sort of scandal compared to the stuff we're seeing? I don't know. Anyway, that's just one of the two scandals that we have to give you update on. I'm losing my voice. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about Lauren Boebert. The lawsuit is coming. We'll be back in a minute. Okay, everybody, the week of scandals continues. Let's jump into the even bigger one. Lauren Boebert is going to be suing the PAC that has reported, according to them, the news that Lauren Boebert apparently operated as some sort of unlicensed escort before becoming a congresswoman. And there are also allegations of multiple abortions despite her supposed pro-life credentials. Well, they had talked possibly about doing a lawsuit. No, apparently it's coming. And she's coming out swinging as well, tweeting, I will not let these false smears from left-wing political operatives go unanswered. The law on this type of defamation is clear, and this conduct will be subject to civil and criminal penalties. We're going to be doing several fact checks during this segment. First of all, the group that is targeting her, the American Muckrakers PAC, is not a left-wing PAC. It's conservatives. It's Republicans. They just don't happen to like her. Not liking Lauren Boebert doesn't make you a leftist, just to be clear. But she is saying that they are going to be pursuing both civil litigation as well as they say that this group has violated criminal law as well. So her attorney sent a letter to the PAC regarding the claims that she was an unlicensed paid escort who had two abortions, pledging to bring several civil defamation lawsuits against them. And the lawyer, Jonathan Anderson, said, we have irrefutable evidence that each of these statements is patently false. You knew this, though. Muckrakers published these outlandish statements knowing they were fabricated, but you likely operated under the inaccurate assumption that publishing false statements against a public figure would not create legal liability. This will be a costly miscalculation for Muckrakers, Wheeler, and Muckrakers donors. Right? That seems like a threat to go after the people that gave the PAC money. I'm not sure legally how that would work. But anyway, they're saying they're going to be going after them, David, and that they have proof that these things didn't happen. I am not sure how you prove that something didn't happen. It is really more on the group to prove that it did, but they're saying that they can prove that she never did any of this.
Well, to your point about the donors, you're absolutely right. There's no law that says that they can somehow go after the donors unless the donors knew that this was going to be published and suddenly gave Muckrakers a bunch of money. But the other thing that just sort of strikes me about all this is regardless of whether this happened or whether it didn't happen or how Lauren Boebert intends to prove whatever she's claiming, can you just imagine how long it must have taken for her lawyers to explain to her what the word defamation is? I mean, four syllables is pretty long for her. And the whole thing about, you know, her saying, well, this is defamation. She didn't know what defamation meant. She knew she was angry. And I guess if this isn't true, one can understand why they'd be really angry. But I can also understand why, if this was true, somebody would also file a lawsuit to claim it isn't, just to somehow try and protect their reputation and do some damage control, particularly when you're in the political sphere of things.
Yeah, and look, it's impossible to say right now whether it's true or not. They are bold claims, and so I am inclined to be very suspicious of them. It seems like the sort of thing that would have come out before now. But that said, some political scandals take a very long time to come out. So I am quite skeptical. And if it is not true, if these things are false, then she should sue them into the ground. What they are doing, knowingly or unknowingly, is horrible if it's not true. So we'll see. But what I am curious about is, because I was debating on the show sort of live yesterday, will she actually, she said she's going to sue, but will she actually sue? Because it's my view as a non-lawyer that were she to sue, that opens it up to perhaps a lot more fact finding. And if there is evidence of any of this, and for some of the claims, it'd be hard to know for sure. I don't know that you can get Planned Parenthood receipts or anything. I don't know how you would prove any of that. But if she operated as an unlicensed escort, there's theoretically a paper trail. If she, as we'll get to, they said was an exotic dancer as well, then it certainly seems as if there would be some sort of paper trail to that. So what do you think about the possibility that if it is true, she could be opening herself up to a big risk with this?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And can you imagine the discovery, the number of Democrats, Republicans, people who don't like Lauren Boebert, who would gladly pay for a high profile law firm to go in and do a very aggressive discovery in this lawsuit to try to find the receipts, the paper trail, the money, the transactions and whatnot. I think the other part about this, which is so intriguing, is it is a fact that Ted Cruz essentially plucked her out of nowhere. Nobody's denied, at least as far as I know, that Ted Cruz had met her in Colorado, and soon after meeting her, according to his own federal election disclosures, he gave more than $100,000 to her when she was a political novice. Why? Was it because he was so impressed with her language skills, her education? She didn't, she got a GED Maybe. To graduate. I mean, what is it about Ted Cruz and Lauren Boebert that, what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, look, in the modern Republican Party, the fact that he might have had like a couple hour conversation with her where she just said a bunch of crazy stuff, that might be enough for him to think this is an up and comer, I should get behind her. I don't know. It shouldn't be enough. It might be enough. But maybe we will discuss. I am sure that Ted Cruz, if this is true, Ted Cruz cannot like the idea that this could go to court, I would imagine. I will just say that. That said, I do want to do a little bit more fact checking, not just that this isn't a far left group. It's not. It's conservatives. But first, I'm going to jump ahead to graphic 8. There are claims made by their supposed source on this information that her husband had a meth problem, that he sold drugs, and that the congresswoman was an exotic dancer. None of those claims are backed up with hard evidence. And by the way, when we say that this would be damaging to her, it is only because of the hypocrisy and the claims she's made, the votes that she's made. There is no objective reason that any of this should be damaging to her. There is nothing wrong with being an exotic dancer, an escort, a prostitute, having abortions, literally any of this, except that she very much believes that all of those are terrible things. That said, the president of the American Muckrakers PAC, David Wheeler, they say that the one person that can answer all of these questions is Lauren Boebert, and that they stand behind their source. That doesn't really mean anything. She's not gonna come out and just testify about how it's true, so you're gonna need to come with more than that. And to be fair, some of what they have released has turned out not to be true, or that other people have been using to buttress these claims. So first of all, in some of the photos that they cited, that pack, one of them is not Lauren Boebert. It's Melissa Carone, a woman who made unsupported voter fraud claims during the 2020 election that were cited by Rudy Giuliani. So she's still in the conservative circles, but it's not Lauren Boebert. And this photo that's been going around apparently for some time, everybody is sharing this and saying it's Lauren Boebert, which I never understood because that doesn't even look like Lauren Boebert to me. Snopes did a fact check on it. There is no evidence that's been provided that that is actually Lauren Boebert, and the photo has been circulating for at least a couple of years. So none of this is to say that the core claims aren't true, but some of the stuff that's being shared doesn't appear to be true. So we need to factor this into our ongoing evaluation of this scandal. Any final thoughts, David?
I just say that, look, part of Lauren Boebert's problem here is that so many people believe that it could be true just based on her background, based on her record, based on, look, when Lauren Boebert went to CPAC and strutted around a year ago, a number of people said she's strutting, she's on that stage like she is a stripper. She is moving around in her high heels and tight jeans like she's done this before. Well, that's probably not fair to judge somebody in a political speech based on their appearance and how they're acting. But when people believe that, when people hear that, it then makes this sort of allegation against her seem, oh yeah, maybe that's not so much of a stretch. And again, nothing wrong if she was a stripper, if she was an escort, if she, you know, had sexual relations with Ted Cruz and that's how she, fine. Those are her choices. But to your point, there's an element of hypocrisy now with what she stands for.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just create an open, tolerant environment. And then most, like so many of these scandals don't have to be an issue. They're the ones that choose to create an environment where they weaponize this sort of stuff against other people opportunistically. In any event, that's going to be it for that segment, your little scandal updates. We have far more important stuff to get to, including some of the revelations coming out in the January 6th hearing. So we're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Everyone, prepare yourself for the largest third block ever in TDR history coming up now, starting with some pretty important stuff. I do want to give you a quick update on something we talked about yesterday, though, in this.
In the video, it clearly shows an individual taking photos of a security checkpoint in the basement.
No, actually, the Capitol. What they were taking a picture of is I took the family, and of course, the other folks were with them, have two young kids that wanted to see the little trains that take congressmen. So I took them to show them where the trolley was in the Rayburn Tunnel.
But why do you think pictures were being taken of a stairwell around security?
If you go to that stairwell, there's a Golden Eagle sconce that's on the wall. That's what I was taking a picture of.
So that is Representative Barry Loudermilk responding to concerns about the fact that he spent the better part, more than a year, denying having taken anyone on any tours of the Capitol grounds in the in advance of the January 6th insurrection. We found out that in fact he did, that some of those on the tours took photos that at least seemed a little bit suspicious, taking photos of stairwells and things like that. And that one of the individuals who went on the tour did not necessarily, we don't know yet, breach the Capitol, but was filmed on January 6th in DC making threatening comments, which we'll get to. Now he has a response. He says, no, they weren't taking suspicious photos of a stairwell. They were taking photos of the little trains, or maybe it was a Golden Eagle statue, or maybe, as he is being reported in Newsweek, it was pictures of children's artwork that they were taking photos. They weren't taking photos of the tunnels or anything like that. So generally, as a rule, David, when you start giving lots of reasons for a thing, it makes it more suspicious rather than less. What do you think?
Well, pretty soon Loudermilk's going to say, no, they were taking pictures of the elf on the shelf. I mean, this is absurd. Nobody takes, I've seen that eagle sconce. That's not something anybody would take a picture of. I sort of get, sure, kids may want to see the little train that shuttles through the congressional office buildings. Okay, that sort of makes sense. But there's still no reasonable explanation for why people would be taking pictures of the stairwells in that area. Other than they wanted to know for their own, I don't know, related to January 6th, what the layout was and where the stairwells were and helping their friends. That's the logical explanation. And Loudermilk, I hope this guy has to go under oath and make these same claims, because then he'll be looking at a perjury and contempt of Congress and everything else.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people are wondering why he hasn't been brought in. He has answers for that too. Take a look at this.
These are folks who had never been to Washington, D.C., and they were here to visit their congressman, and
so
they were excited.
Why not just speak to the committee and just...
Because the committee's never called me and asked me anything.
They sent a letter asking for your cooperation.
They never sent it to me.
Your office never received
it. No, never.
Okay. It is conceivable that the committee has never reached out to him. I suppose that's a thing that could exist in the physical realm that we inhabit. It seems pretty hard to believe, David, that they've never reached out to him. They sent it to the wrong email address or something, or it got lost in the mail. They've been talking about him specifically for some time now. The idea that they would never have reached out to him, that seems hard to believe.
Right, I guarantee they have tried to reach out to him. Maybe they sent him emails, maybe they sent letters to his staff. But what he's saying now, the committee should take him for on his word and say, okay, we will have a process server at the most inconvenient to you, maybe when you're in the bathroom in the House Rayburn building, and physically hand it to you so that you know, yes, the committee wants to talk to you. And then come talk to us. Because again, Loudermilk has this pattern of lying and deflecting and changing sort of where the, you know, changing where his defense is. That's not gonna last. Eventually it's all gonna come back to haunt him.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, maybe all of this was fine. Like the even if we found out that one of the people taking the photos were doing something like wrong, that doesn't mean that Loudermilk knew when he took them around or anything like that. There's a lot that we don't know, and so we can't speak definitively about it. But here is what I know. We would be far less suspicious if he hadn't lied for over a year about taking someone on a tour. It is easy to conceive of it being totally innocent. It is more difficult to conceive of that after you hid its existence for over a year. If it was totally like above board, on the level, nothing wrong, why did you lie about it month after month after month after month when people were making specific questions about people taking these sorts of tours? That's what makes it suspicious. And then on top of it, the stakes, as David alluded to, we know that there were people who wanted to figure out the grounds so they could potentially trap and, I'll say, at least start a hostage situation, if not massacre our elected representatives. The guy who's in the video with him, he's on video. We showed this yesterday, saying, "We're coming to take you out and pull you out by your hairs," talking about AOC. "When I get done with you, you're gonna need a shine on top of that bald head." He made threatened Nancy Pelosi as well. And by the way, we also found out just in the last day or two, there are new conspiracy charges in relation to these Oath Keepers. Well, we found out what the Oath Keepers were up to in these messages. They wanted to track lawmakers' movements in the tunnels underneath the Capitol complex. One of them, in a Facebook message, said, "All members are in the tunnels under Capitol, seal them in, turn on gas, do like we had to do when I was in the Corps." I think he means Marine Corps. "Start tearing out floors, go from top to bottom." So they are talking about trapping and then gassing, or moving from floor to floor and massacring politicians. So understanding the layout seems pretty significant. Like, he could have been affected by this. To keep hiding his involvement, Loudermilk, is just, it's unacceptable, David.
Right, and if he had any sense of shame, any sense of integrity, look, and it's understandable, maybe he gave a tour and didn't know why these people were, you know, on the tour and why they were taking pictures, that's fine. So why didn't, right after January the 6th, why didn't he go to authorities and say, "Look, there were some constituents that I gave a tour to. I think that they're innocent. I think there was nothing here, but I'm gonna give you their names, their numbers. I'm gonna give you whatever exculpatory evidence I have that shows that they were innocent, but you talk to them and let the investigators determine whether there was anything nefarious here." The fact that he would try to hide it suggests that no, he probably suspects that they were up to something no good, and he was trying to hide and trying to deflect. And that just goes to show there is no shame, there's no sense of integrity in any of these folks.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's move now to what is likely to be a big topic of conversation in today's hearings. Lawyer John Eastman, one of the kookier figures in this entire protracted effort to overturn the 2020 election, is now implicated with these new messages that have just been revealed, where he apparently claimed in an email after Election Day 2020, that there's a heated fight among Supreme Court justices over whether to hear arguments about the president's efforts to overturn the result of the election. So he apparently was saying there is the possibility that the Supreme Court could take this up and, in theory, choose, as they did a couple of decades ago, effectively who becomes president. He said in one of those messages, "So the odds are not based on the legal merits, but an assessment of the justices' spines. And I understand that there is a heated fight underway." So what he's saying is there is disagreement about this, but what is going to influence it isn't so much the legal merit. It's a rare moment of lucidity for John Eastman, knowing that there is no merit to their claims, but how scared they are about what it could mean if they don't take it up. And that is important because he is involved in a political movement that worked to create the chaos of January 6th. If they have a paper trail saying, "We think we can get this picked up, but we need there to be utter chaos for it to work," then I think when you try to claim that you didn't intend for anything bad to happen on January 6th, that becomes a little bit harder to make that seem reasonable. What do you think, Dave?
I'll take a step further. I guarantee if there were these heated discussions, and I'm not necessarily sure, I think there's also a possibility that Eastman was just saying this to try to rile up Donald Trump and make the case for why they should go forward with Eastman memo. But taking him at his word, if there was some disagreement, you know for sure that Clarence Thomas was part of that disagreement, because he wanted to do whatever Trump was wanting to do with the election. And he, of course, has his wife, Ginny Thomas, who's actually talking about alternate electors. So the whole thing, it just kind of, I'm speechless by it all. And think about it this way, John. People were so angry at Mike Pence on January the 6th. Can you imagine talking about the pressure on the Supreme Court justices if suddenly they had taken this case and there was this mob that was willing to, you know, say, hang Mike, but what would they do to the Supreme Court justices who wanted to make a decision based on the rule of law?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you pointed out that John Eastman can't necessarily be trusted. He might well have said this. That doesn't mean that it's true. That is totally true. There's also another potential failure point in this argument, and that gets into how he would, in theory, know. I mean, you pointed out Ginni Thomas is involved in this. I'm going to jump ahead to graphic 10. People are wondering, well, if there was the issues, or if he thought that there was the issues, how would he know about that? Now, he had been a clerk for Justice Clarence Thomas, Eastman had. So in theory, he could be communicating directly with Clarence Thomas. The issue with that is that Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice. They're not political people, partisan people. They are like pure fonts of judicial wisdom. They would never get involved in any of this. But maybe Ginni Thomas would, because Ginni Thomas apparently also emailed John Eastman ahead of January 6th. And that's where the other failure point comes. Eastman could be lying, or he could have been told by Ginni Thomas that there's this fight going on. And that could have been wishful thinking on the part of a woman who apparently believes literally every conspiracy theory that's presented to her. So she could have told John Eastman something. He could believe her, but it could not be true. So there's a lot that we don't necessarily know. What we do know is that the January 6th committee announced this morning that they will be seeking Ginni Thomas to testify, saying, we think it's time that we at some point invite her to come talk to the committee. Seems overdue. And Jamie Raskin said this morning, new evidence is breaking every single day now. Suddenly, a lot of people want to tell the truth. So I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. I would have loved, David, for us to find out a bit more of this before the January 6th committee hearing presentations. But I don't know. Maybe this is starting to shake the tree and stuff has fallen out.
No, certainly. I think that's certainly the case, that a lot of people are now in sort of CYA mode, trying to protect their own reputations. The thing about Ginni Thomas is that if she in fact was telling John Eastman, if that's true, that, oh yeah, there's this bitter divide in the Supreme Court, well then Ginni Thomas is undermining the explanation she's giving now, the defense she's been offering it. Oh, my husband and I, we never talk about work. We always sort of kept it separate. Well, clearly that's a lie. I never believed that. And now we simply have John Eastman essentially confirm that Ginni Thomas was probably talking to other people and her husband about her efforts and his efforts to try to keep Donald Trump as president.
President Joe Biden is now planning to travel to Saudi Arabia next month, and it is not going over well in certain quarters, certain very understandable quarters, including based on the reaction that we see from the former fiance of slain journalist Jamal Khashoggi. She is not happy with the president choosing to dignify and elevate Mohammed bin Salman in this way by traveling to Saudi Arabia as if they had not done these horrible things. She urged Biden to, quote, uphold your vow to bring all the perpetrators of this brutal crime to justice. Khashoggi, if you are not familiar with the story, disappeared in October 2018. And all the evidence seems to point to this being a plot from the very top of the Saudi Arabian government to murder him. Now, that said, she had more to say. Take a look at this video.
You must uphold your vow to bring all the perpetrators of this brutal crime to justice. But as disappointing as this is, if you have to put oil over the principles and expediency over values, can you at least ask, where is Jamal's body? Doesn't he deserve a proper burial?
And that just breaks your heart. Like, this has been, it's been 4 years, and in certain ways, there's been, I'm sure for her, no closure. The remains were never found. And to now see the president of the United States apparently being willing to move past this brutal assassination, David, I can understand the concern that she has, and a lot of people are reacting negatively to this.
Yeah, this doesn't look good for Joe Biden, never mind Khashoggi, but also there's all the suggestions that's coming out now that even if Saudi Arabia were to turn on the spigots, as George W. Bush would say, and flood the markets with oil, it would take them so long to sort of ramp up that it really wouldn't impact gasoline prices at all. So And by the way, there's no guarantee that the Saudis are going to do that. So if Joe Biden is going to try to help with energy, then this could be sort of a big fail because he's getting hammered over the human rights stuff. There is some reporting out there, though, John, that that Saudi Arabia and Israel are on the verge of a historic peace deal. And there's some indications in the American-Israel, you know, sort of circles that perhaps Biden is going to Saudi Arabia to sort of push this across the finish line. However, if he does not get a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel, then this, and that doesn't happen, say, in the next 6 months, then this trip to Saudi Arabia, I think, will continue to haunt him and will perhaps even look even worse in terms of historical perspective.
Yeah, especially because to jump ahead to graphic three, like he talked a really big game when it came to Saudi Arabia on the campaign trail. He either actually thought he would be tough on MBS, or he at least thought it was an easy thing to score some points on. He said in 2019 that he would make Saudi leaders, quote, pay the price for Khashoggi's murder and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are. There's no better way to make someone a pariah than to visit them on a trip. Biden also vowed to end the sale of material to the Saudis where they're going in and murdering children in Yemen. And there have been some changes in terms of our willingness to assist them in the brutal massacres in Yemen. But this just doesn't look good. And it isn't just Khashoggi's widow who is criticizing him. Senator Tim Kaine said the crown prince's blood stain has not been cleansed. I get it that circumstances change, but what's the fundamental issue in the world right now? It's the authoritarians. And in fact, there are protests. You can see in the tweets that we'll put up, there are protests concerning this decision, including from Code Pink. So look, the murder of Jamal Khashoggi is not the only awful thing. And you could certainly make a case, like if you wanted to engage in this, drone strikes kill people and destroy them. And there are a lot of terrible things in the world. That is definitely true. Often people will deploy that argument, though, to say, well, what are you going to do? I would argue we should expect better from our own government and from the Saudi government. And so far, I've seen nothing from the Saudis that implied that their moving on is about true reform. It seems to be they would just very much like to get more military assistance from the US, and they want to have economic ties with other countries while also being just as horrible to their people as ever before.
And if we thoughts? Expected more, if we expected more from our own government, I would have hoped for that Joe Biden would say, okay, there's nothing really that concrete that can come out of the Saudi visit because of oil prices, and certainly I'm getting hammered for human rights. So why not say to Saudi Arabia, look, you go ahead and make the peace deal with Israel first, and then I'll come and reward you and elevate your prestige by coming to Riyadh after you've done that. Why Joe Biden is sort of putting himself out there first and risking that, you know, there still may not be a peace deal. I mean, that just seems puzzling to me because the United States doesn't need this visit of a US president to Saudi Arabia right now. It will not really do anything for the United States.
Well, yeah, it's not going to buy him any credit on the right or anything. Like his letter, like pushing domestic oil manufacturers to up their production, Fox is using that to attack him. Going to the Saudis, it's not like he can do anything he wants. They're not going to love him. So that's weird. And the hypothetical situation you sketched out, I think, makes a lot of sense. So much so that the fact that they're not doing that, does that lead us to believe that perhaps a potential peace deal isn't as close as people might have thought? Because it tying those things together sure seemed to make sense. I mean, if he's going with there's nothing being given in advance, certainly nothing that's been announced yet. I don't know. That looks really suspicious.
I'm with you. I mean, this whole thing is, again, it's just not a good look. And I just, you know, I think the criticism with Biden is sometimes Biden sort of over negotiates. He gets himself too involved in trying to find compromise. And I think this is one of these cases where maybe he's too involved in trying to get this peace deal together. And maybe he needs to sort of step back and say, I'm not part of this. You do this on your own. And once your own reputation has been improved, then the president of the United States will come and visit you.
I think that seems reasonable. Okay, with that, we're going to move into one of the most ridiculous stories I've seen in a while that doesn't involve Herschel Walker, at the very least. Let's jump into this. With Matt Gaetz, you never know what headlines you're going to come across. And I saw this and thought we just have to dive into this. Matt Gaetz keeps an article about his sex trafficking investigation signed by Donald Trump at his office. That is apparently a true thing. Actually, apparently some people had been aware of this before. Seems madness to me. In a glass display case, there's a handwritten note from President Trump, scribbled, of course, in Sharpie, on an article about Gaetz defending himself against, in case you are not aware of Representative Gaetz's allegations, A federal sex trafficking probe involving the transportation of a 17-year-old across state lines. Matt, this is great, Trump wrote. Keep fighting, you will win. And so this has previously been reported on, but now a photo is available. There is proof. Take a look at this. That is a photo of him with Trump and Trump's weird writing with his Richter scale signature at the bottom. Gates launches six-figure ad in district defending himself. Again, against sex trafficking charges. I personally, in my office or where I, whatever, would not have any references to the fact that I am alleged to have conducted sex trafficking. Matt Gaetz apparently thinks it's some sort of trophy as long as Trump is involved. What do you think, David?
Well, there is something to be said about, look, I know a lot of people who, you know, they post their rejection letters, whether it's they're looking for a job or looking for college admission, and they paper their wall with all the rejection letters to say, okay, this is going to motivate me. These people sort of rejected me, therefore I'm going to prove them wrong. And maybe there's something about Matt Gaetz and his claims that he's innocent, saying I'm going to prove these people wrong. I'm going to be vindicated that there's really nothing here. And to his point, he has not yet been indicted. Having said that, I think it's also possible that he and Donald Trump share this sort of interest in younger women, and Donald Trump and perhaps maybe was impressed that Matt Gaetz was trafficking, if he was, a 17-year-old and thought that that was somehow cool. And Matt Gaetz was like, yeah, it is kind of cool. Look at what a man I am because I get away with this stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and what you just said about Trump there, that doesn't even get into the area of allegations. I mean, certainly Trump faces a lot of really disgusting, awful allegations when it comes to the way that he has apparently treated women for literally decades. The stuff about him liking younger women, all you have to do is ask him, just talk to him for a little bit, and he'll start talking about, I mean, when he talked about Epstein, about how Epstein likes young women just like he does, and he makes jokes, Trump makes jokes about how little girls, he'll be dating them in 10 years. It's sick stuff, but that's what he chose to do for literally decades. And so maybe that connection is true. We haven't talked on the show about the Matt Gaetz stuff in some time. I will say that it remains an area of incredible frustration for me because to differentiate it from like the Lauren Boebert stuff, there's apparently a lot of at least a digital paper trail in this. And maybe all of it has been misconstrued or misinterpreted. But if that is the case, it has been a very long time. Whoever was investigating this, I think should have an obligation. We should have an expectation that they would either move on it, or if there isn't anything there and you've had enough time seemingly to find it, then clear his name. Like actually, if there's nothing there, then let's move on. But just letting it hang out there for so many months in a row, David, I find so incredibly frustrating.
It's not only frustrating, and I get your point, it's also against Department of Justice policy. There are policies that when you're dealing with public corruption and public officials, elected officials, at a certain point, there's an obligation on prosecutors, US attorneys to say, okay, we are going to indict you. You send that person a target letter to warn that they are in danger of being indicted in the next 3 or 4 months. Or when your investigation has wrapped up and you have cooperating witnesses in this case, if you feel you are not able to make the case, you let them know, you let their attorneys know, okay, you know, the investigation remains open, but at this point, we have no plans to indict you or bring charges. The fact that they're not doing either of that, I think underscores why it is troubling to you, troubling to a lot of people, the Justice Department, troubling to a lot of people who've been wondering what is taking them so long.
100%. My final thought is, I wonder, will we have a story in like a year and a half of Lauren Boebert having a glass case with Trump's Sharpie writing on her defending herself against the American Muckrakers arguments? Maybe. I don't think he said anything publicly about it yet, but he really likes Lauren Boebert and she's in love with him. So I wonder if he'll be coming out in support of her soon. Anyway, with that said, that is the end of the first hour of our show. So if you're on one of the linear platforms or a podcast, thank you as always for watching. And in particular, if you are listening to the podcast and you haven't already yet rated and reviewed our podcast on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. I love reading those reviews and it certainly helps discoverability for the show as well. With all that said though, if you are watching on, well, you're not watching on Twitch thanks to January 6th, but if you're watching on YouTube or on the members app, other things like that, we've got a lot more to talk about, including awful crypto bros, debate on gas prices and more. Don't go anywhere. We have our fourth annual Juneteenth special. So that is the 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Dr. Rashad Ritchie is going to be hosting. They're gonna have an awesome panel of people from inside and outside of TYT talking about Juneteenth. So that is coming up on the 20th. So Keep a watch out for that. Coltrane in the members' comments says, David's 100%. It's not Boebert's past, it's her hypocrisy and condemnation of others for their own personal shortcomings. 100%. Now, like, if you are demonizing AOC for having been a bartender, and you're hiding stuff in your past, like that's the thing. Don't be awful. Like just don't be awful. Except everybody has a past. Like just don't be awful. That's all.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.